today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
And so when you see someone elevated, please don't get upset. God does that. Sometimes he does it to mess up people. God will exalt the person you don't like just to mess you up. God will take your enemy and slap glory on them. That's why you have to learn how to forgive and release and forgive and release and forgive and release, because God is sovereign. He may take somebody that you never dreamed would be moving and shaking and shake them, put his spirit on them, turn their life around, and introduce them to you as leader.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Elevate 2.0. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Psalm 75, verses 6 through 10.
In the book of Psalm 75, the book of Psalm 75, verse 6. As we're dealing with leadership essentials, that's the series. Let's look at Psalm 75, verse 6 through 10. And the word of the Lord reads like this: No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man, but it is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. Look at this. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I refuse to drink that. I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob. I will cut off the horns of all the wicked. Look at this. But the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. From the director of music with string instruments, a psalm of Asaph, a song. I want to share with you this morning from this thought, Elevate 2.0. Elevate 2.0. I communicated this to leaders. I need to build on it and share with our church. Some things are specific to leaders that are called to lead ministries, but some of us are in the shadows, and we think because we're not in front, we can do whatever we want to do, but it's just not true. All of us should be thinking about leadership. And I believe God wanted me to speak it to this church, and also to those affiliates who are watching around the nation. It's time for you to lead. Father, I give you praise, and I thank you for this moment, and I thank you for the Spirit of Truth. I thank you, Father, that the Spirit of Truth speaks. And Father, I give you glory and praise for that truth, that reality, even by the Spirit being released upon the people of God in this hour. You are holy. Fill my lungs and my mind with inspiration and power to be released upon your people. Let me speak as an oracle, as a messenger from God. For where there is no vision, the people perish. Go before the word and prepare us with an ear to hear, a sharp mind to comprehend, a tender heart to receive, and an open spirit to contain your word. And we will give you praise for it now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. I need some inspiration, so clap your hands in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. the Psalm of David, or the Psalm of Asaph, which was a worship leader for David. You need to understand Asaph was a clan, or the father of a clan, that was selected by David to lead 24-hour worship in Israel on Mount Zion. These leaders took shifts. They're called Zionist priests. They took shifts to make sure that worship was going on 24/7. David didn't have a church like ours that spent 2 hours and then the next 6 days doing whatever we want to do, and just showing up and doing what we do in ministry and say, okay, I've done my duty. David wanted to love God so much that he created 24-hour worship and had people on shifts to make sure it happened. Now, I want you to think about a sound coming from Zion 24 hours a day. This is the kind of leader this man was, and God loved it so much, he blessed him beyond measure. Not only with money, gold, and diamonds, and prestige, but he blessed him with influence and power. Well, all over the region, people heard, is that you, Sheila? Blessings. Sheila just laid her husband to rest, and I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. We bless you. Thank you so much for being here today. He made sure that worship went on 24/7. And God blessed him with prestige. Here, one of his worship leaders, his name is Asaph, in charge. Read the book of Chronicles. In charge of 24-hour worship, making sure that worship went on in stages. And the minstrels didn't go in the fellowship hall and talk and slap each other's hands. And we did it good today, Doc. They stayed up under the word. They stayed up under the beard. They made sure they were holy. They walked with God. They did what they needed to do. And he writes this song to us that I believe was birthed out of the presence of the Lord. And leaders need to be in the presence of God. I find myself a slave to the King of Kings. Yesterday, I couldn't go out and party. I had to be in the Word so I can share something with you. And if you're going to do anything, even if it's 20 minutes up here, you need to spend hours alone with God. This is what the world don't understand. We give our bosses and our employment way more attention than we give God. If we gave God a fraction of what we give for our employment, you'll see God move by his spirit and by his power. We make $100,000 a year and won't give God $10,000 of that. We don't give him $1,000 out of the $100,000. We got to learn how to put God first. And if you do that, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings you don't have enough to receive. What if you gave him 10% of your time so he can bless you as a parent? Can bless you as an entrepreneur. Bless you as a father or as a mother. If you seek him, you will find him. If you pray, you'll see him turn your children around. If you give him all, he will give you all. If you make one step, come on, he will make two. If you worship him, he will download his spirit inside of you. And many of us don't understand how powerful worship is. Worship will change your mind. Worship will keep you from doing stuff that you know you shouldn't do. Worship will keep you moving toward the holiness of God. Can the church say amen? We just sung the song, holy, holy, holy. Let the angels cry holy. Well, let me decree and declare you are angelic in the name of Jesus. And God wants you to declare that he's holy as you walk in holiness. Look what's birthed out of holiness and worship. No one from the east or the west, from the desert, can exalt a man. Now, many of us are looking for people to exalt us. But out of worship, Asaph says, no man can exalt you. Not only from the east or the west, but out of the desert. Out of the desert, out of a dry place. Glory. You'll be surprised how many people are seeking elevation out of a dry place, a place that has no moisture, no rain, no God. God has not moistured the atmosphere. But we're seeking some type of connectivity out of the desert. It will never exalt you. Look at verse 7. But if God, it is God who judges, and he brings one down and exalts another. And so when you see someone elevated, please don't get upset. God does that. Sometimes he does it to mess up people. God will exalt the person you don't like just to mess you up. God will take your enemy and slap glory on them. That's why you have to learn how to forgive and release and forgive and release and forgive and release, because God is sovereign. He may take somebody that you never dream would be moving and shaking and shake them, put his spirit on them, turn their life around and introduce them to you as leader. And no one that you mentor should be a greater leader than you were, or display more character than you do, or more fruit of the spirit than you do. Glory to God. We should all be growing. And I got students, hallelujah, that have listened to me for years. I should be out front in terms of development. If I'm leading them, what are they following? They can't just follow a name. They have to follow a disposition, a history, a mindset. How do you handle problems? What do you do when you're going through? What happens when you're tempted or tested? How do you handle or manage your life? What do you do as it relates to consistency? How do you do with it? How do you preach every week to the same people and keep your enthusiasm up? Well, there is a pattern. There is a discipline. There is a order to it. And if you lead, people will follow. Could you imagine me saying I'm the teacher and all of you all displayed more character about scripture than I do, and I claim to be the leader? You can't be a parent and the kids seem to be more watch their temperament than you do. You have to be the one leading out if you're going to have children and raise them up. In other words, when they fly off the handle at 13 and throw things against the wall, if you do the same thing, you've lost your leadership. You have to be able to say, no, we don't do that. And when you get upset, show them how to handle it instead of throwing eggs against the wall and kicking stuff and having a temper tantrum. I'll preach anyway, because I see it a lot in grown-ups, man. Temper tantrum, upset, neck flowing. My God, don't bring that to my office. Please, you get upset, I want you to calm down. Pray, Jesus, Lord, help me. Help me to get myself together before I step into his office. And when I step into his office, I'm going to sit up straight. I'm going to sit up straight and talk to him. Don't bring me all that neck and all that stuff. I can't handle it, man. I can't handle it. Oh, God, help me. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise. I will sing praise. The verse before that says, God serves a wine, a foam to the wicked. In other words, there is a drink spiritually, soulishly, that's served to people who don't have the right mindset. And you can get drunk from it thinking it's okay. But he serves it to the wicked. And that wicked person will never be exalted. If they do occupy a throne, it won't last long. But as for me, I'm going to worship, verse 9. In other words, the way to exaltation is not as the world would be exalted. It is following the principles that God has set for. And a lot of time, God makes us wait for a little while before he exalts us. Some people, when they're going to a job, they're expecting to be promoted within a year. God don't usually do that. He lets you work with stuff for a while to see how you're going to respond. How do you respond to God? How do you respond to disappointments? If you're dating someone, watch how they respond to stuff before you marry them. See how they handle their parents. What do they say about their parents? What do they think about women? What do they think about men? What is their credit score? I want to know what vendors thought about you. Where do you work? I know you're saying, that's my business. Well, you're going to marry somebody, you better know their business, because their business is going to become yours. And let me tell you something else, man. Every time you marry into a family, you marry demons that's assigned to that family. So there are Johnson demons and Clark demons and Nelson demons and all kind of demons that are connected. And you got to learn how to flow and to see what's in the family tree and then see how you're going to work with it. And you bring your own demons yourself. And so ladies should be checking things out, not just how they look. Oh, yeah, this man fine. You got to look. Oh, his voice. You got to learn how to look deeper at stuff that you can't see on the surface. What exalted you? What were you drinking before you met me? Who were you hanging around before you got with me? And if I'm all that and I change you and you had 100 before me, how many of them are coming into our lives in your mind? Oh, my God. So you want me to put on a wig? You want me to put on a wig and dance? Where did that come from? You know where it came from? From your body counts. You better know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with folk, because there's a lot of stuff out there in the world. And if you get with God, God is even concerned about what happened. And that's why he has a doctrine called redemption. If you come through him, he will wipe your slate clean, but you got to repent. That means you got to turn away from it. If you're still straddling the fence, you're going to miss God. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'll keep preaching if you say amen.
Amen.
Write it down. Growth in service to God is a lifelong journey. Growth in service to God is a lifelong journey. That can lead to spiritual growth. It's a lifelong journey that can lead to spiritual growth and a deeper relationship with God. Your service to God is exemplified by your actions, not just by your words. Let me say it again. Your Christian experience is exemplified not just by words. You do confess with your mouth and believe in your heart to get saved. But after that, we must have actions to follow. And leaders always have actions. So your service to God is exemplified by your actions. Number one, in your family, that's moral. Domesticated, I would say. Domestic qualifications. In your community, how you function and flow in the culture of your city, in the environment of your city, publicly and privately. In your place of work, does anybody know in the next cubicle that you love Jesus? Are you a silent believer? A stealth believer? That means nobody knows. And do you like it that way? Because at work you can fling cuss words and say whatever, and if you don't tell them you're a Christian, nobody will judge you. Or do you really go to work and say, you know what, I'm going to put this, I don't have to say it enough, but I'm going to have this little Bible dictionary on my desk, or I'm going to have this plaque on my desk that identifies that I am a type of believer. I don't have to speak in tongues, and I don't have to say everything religious just by my life. I can be quiet, but you're going to know that I love the Lord. Your service to God is exemplified by your actions in your family, in your community, and your place of work. I would like to say moral, spiritual, and domestic. Moral, spiritual, and domestic. All three spheres need to have your attention. And we need to see actions that tie to your moral qualifications, your spiritual qualifications, and your domestic qualifications. You can't be a leader at church and cuss your wife out at home. You can get angry, but sin none. You can't come to church and lead people, but you hate everybody at work. You can't love everybody that's out there, but there are people in your church that you won't speak to. You must square with God, or you square with the house. Years ago, I had an elder to come to me and said, I need to take a sabbatical. And so my question to him was, are you square with the house? He said, what do you mean? I said, do you have a problem with me or any other elder or any other leader or any member in the church which is causing you to take the sabbatical? He leaned back in his chair and said no, but he wasn't telling the truth. Because a lot of times sabbaticals, when it comes to service to God, is tied to offense. And instead of dealing with the offense, because nobody's running you down, nobody's got you running 24/7 trying to do stuff for God, not in this ministry. I ask you to be a part of three ministries. If the fourth one comes along, you need to be able to determine that and say, I can't join the fourth one until I give up one of the three. That's my recommendation. So nobody should be burnt out in ministry. If it's time to take a sabbatical, make sure you're square with the house. Make sure it's not offenses that's pushing you away from duty. If you need a rest, I'm all for it. But my question was, are you square with the house? And this is what needs to be asked in every sphere. Anytime there's a separation in leadership, we should make sure we're square and not an offense. An offense shouldn't drive us from doing what we need to do in God. Service to God shouldn't be done for recognition or even praise. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, when you do something for God, you shouldn't have to stand with chest out and you're grinning. Like, in other words, you're smiling from ear to ear. And what you're saying in your demeanor is, did you notice? Did you notice what I just did? Leaders don't do that. We do what we do as unto the Lord. In other words, God is going to pay you. If nobody notices, you square with God. As a parent, no parent should change a diaper and say to the baby, tell mama she's good. Tell mama she's all right now. You're not going to say thank you. Honestly, you should change 1,000 diapers and tell the kid you're loving even as they mess on you. And as you do that, right, you'll develop, eventually the kid's going to say, mama, I love you. If you pour in the love. But if you're expecting the love to be defaulted to you, or every time you do something to an infant, you're expecting them and you're waiting on it, you're going to be disappointed. Leaders do that a lot when it comes to church activities. In other words, when we do something, we're expecting everybody to notice. But you got to learn how to square with God. If nobody say anything, you do as you do unto the Lord. This is why in the church we don't have bulletins with names. Sister so-and-so is doing this. Brother so-and-so is doing that. That's what you probably are used to. Because people get a cut. They didn't put my name in it. Well, why would we put your name in it? You did what you did as unto the Lord. Bishop Clark can't pay you for your service. You got to do it as unto the Lord, Asaph. You worship not to be paid. You do what you do as unto the Lord. You don't leave sound because you just, oh my God, I just won't do the record. That's not what you do. Or he better recognize us. That kind of mentality is not leadership. Of course, I can't do it by myself. And I don't want to do it by myself. We're at a place now in ministry where we can't do it by ourselves. But I shouldn't be threatened. You don't recognize me, I'm out. You can go now. And what we'll do is just work with what we have. But I'm taking no shorts. I was Alpha before you met me. And you got to learn how to stand, even if people walk away. If you're a woman, you don't become a woman to keep them. You're a woman when they walked away. They didn't see value. You keep being who God made you. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. You don't do stuff so people would like you. Be who you are. As long as it's the character of God that shaped you. And if you're doing what God told you, you don't have to worry about people walking away. God told me for every one that walks away from you, I will send two. And for every two that stay, I'll send three. So you can't lose if you work with me. And if you do what God is telling you to do, he's going to always make sure he's supplying your needs. Come on, the old folks say he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Elevate 2.0, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Men, the registration for Legatus, the 2025 Men's Advanced Reloaded, taking place at Truth Revealed on Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th, is now open. Visit our website, truthrevealed.org, check out the mobile app, or scan the QR code in the foyer. You do not want to miss out on this experience, so save the dates, schedule a reminder, and we will see you at Truth Revealed.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Please take this time to honor our shepherd, Bishop Merton Clark. You can show your appreciation through cards and acts of kindness. Visit truthrevealed.org or the TR mobile app to express your support. Cash App is available at Truth Revealed too. If you prefer to send a check, make it payable to Truth Revealed and indicate Pastor Appreciation on the memo line.
Thrive Youth Ministry is the place to connect middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high-energy environment where they can learn and grow together every Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m. Join the movement and thrive with us. New members' classes are still in session. To start your orientation lessons, take the first step and email connect@truthrevealed.org.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.